Tonight, I wanted to start with an idea from Megillas Esther. I know it's a little bit of a strange place to start, Megillas Esther, but it's in Perek Tes, towards the very, very end of Megillas Esther, when the Megillah mentions, taking a recap of what exactly happened, what were the plans, and it says, Ki Haman Ben Hamadasa, Perek Tes Pasuk Chav Dalet, 924, page 1261 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash. Ki Haman Ben Hamadasa Ha'agagi, Tzorer Kol Hayudim, Chashav Al Yehudim La'abdam, that he had his designs to wipe out, to eradicate the Jewish people. Vehi Pil Pur Hu Hagoral, Luhumam U'La'abdam. So it tells us that Haman had a plan. Haman's plan was to do what? Was to wipe out the Jews. But how did he do that? He did that by casting lots, luhumam ula abdam. And here it says, before he wanted to wipe them out, what did he have to do first? He had to terrify them. Luhumam ula abdam. He first had to terrify the Jewish people, and then he knew he would be able to wipe them out. What does that mean? What does that mean here, that Haman was planning first to terrify the Jews? So Haman knew a yesod gadol about the Jewish people, that if the Jewish people have their peace of mind, if the Jewish people are able to maintain focus, then he would not have been able to wipe them out. He knew they would only grow vulnerable when he casts confusion, when he casts them to be terrified and to be afraid and to lose their sense of self, their peace of mind, their focus. And in fact, some explain, this is why the Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach Aleph tells us that the Yitzhahara is like a zavuv. It's very appropriate for this time of year, that the Yitzhahara is like a fly. What does that mean? What does a fly do? A fly just annoys you. Yeah. A fly can't sting you. A fly doesn't hurt. But a fly annoys. A fly causes you to what? To get frustrated. I don't know how many times at night you hear this fly buzzing around your room. You're like, okay, I cannot go to sleep until that fly is dead. No? Yeah, we're all smiling because you all know that feeling. And mamash, at times I'm up at, I don't know what time, Leah's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to kill a fly. And I have a towel. I've decided white shirts rolled up are the best way to kill flies. Just the practical eitzes. See what you learned in this year, Elisa? Practical eitzes. Yeah, I don't know. I saw in camp these kids had these electrified little tennis rackets, these little things that were like electrified. Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, Rav, this is the best thing. So next summer, that's what we'll have to get, right? Right. Things have gotten very, you think the iPhones are important. The electric tennis fly squatters, those are the best, right? But that's the idea that the Yitzhara is a zavuv, a fly, because what the Yitzhara wants to do is to get you to lose your peace of mind, to get you to lose your sense of calm. And if the Yitzhara can do that, that's when the Yetzirah can get us. And that's what the Zohar says, that if you take the word, the names Balak and Bilam, and take the first two letters of each word, what does it spell? It represents Bilbul. What does Bilbul mean? To be confused. Exactly. Bilbul is confusion. That's what Balak and Bilam wanted to do. And what are the last two letters of their name? Bilam and Balak. What do they spell? Again, Balak is only three letters, but take the last two letters of each name. What does it spell? It spells Amalek. Amalek. That the first two letters, the Bilbul, leads to Amalek. It leads to falling into perspective, Amalek, denying God. That's what Bilbul can do. And that's what's so interesting, that what was Pinchas? Pinchas, meaning Bilam's final plan, was to get the Jews to commit the sin with the women of Moab, and then that would totally, obviously, throw them off because of their desire. Then they'd be led into the most depraved forms of Avodah Zarah because of that. And when we know what's going on, and the Jewish people are falling apart. Zimri is making a mockery of Moshe Rabbeinu in front of all the people. And what happens? I mean, v'hine ishi mi b'nei Yisrael last week's parsha, ba v'yakrei v'lachaves ha-midyanis l'enei Moshe, u'lenei kaldas b'nei Yisrael, right? This man, this Jewish person, we know that he's a distinguished individual. We spoke about it, I believe, last year, maybe 2 years ago, why at the end of Balak, it doesn't say his name at the beginning of Pinchas, it does. You remember that? Check last year's year. I don't think I posted them, so I'll have to check if I have them on my phone. But the idea is that Zimri comes with Kozbi. And what's everyone doing? What's everyone doing in front of Moshe, in front of Kol Hadas Bnei Yisrael? What are they doing? V'hem abochem Pesach Ol Moed. Everyone's just crying. Moshe, the Zekanim, are just crying. What? They don't know what to do. They're totally thrown off by this. They can't respond. And what happens? V'yar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron ha-Kohen v'yakam mitoch ha-Eda v'yikach romach b'yado. We know that Pinchas is the one person who what? Has that clarity. Pinchas is the one person who's able to maintain focus. And when the whole people are falling apart, the whole Jewish people are falling to pieces, talk about confusion, talking about not having your bearings about you and being able to focus on what to do, and Pinchas knows what to do. And what's so interesting is, Chazal tell us, who was Pinchas? Pinchas was Eliyahu Hanavi. Pinchas became Eliyahu. Eliyahu Hanavi is the person who Yetzahara, meaning the Malach HaMavis, couldn't control. Yetzahara, Malach HaMavis, Wasatan, the Gemara says they're all the same person. Pinchas was the one that the Yetzahara, that the Satan, the Malach HaMavis, couldn't control because he always had that focus. You know, that's the famous Medrash about David HaMelech. He knew he was going to die on a Shabbos, so what did he do? He learned Torah the whole Shabbos. Until what happened? How was the Yetzahara, Malach HaMavis, able to get him? By made a noise, right? Very good, very good. Made the noise, the wind in the backyard, and he heard it, and it like confused him, and that's when the Malach HaMavis got him. But we're seeing here that Pinchas, Moshe, Aaron's not alive. Moshe, Elazar, everyone's like crying, they don't know what to do. And oh, look, here's a fly, you see? You see? Like the Gemara, you see? It's flying, I don't know what I'm about to say. Right? So the idea is that Pinchas is the one who knows what's going on here. This is crazy, I have to keep the focus. And this, Revolbi tells us, switching over into the time that we now find ourselves, why Pinchas is always Bein HaMetzarim or Shabbos, right before Bein HaMetzarim, almost always it is the first Shabbos of Bein HaMetzarim in Chutz La'aretz. Revolbi says, what's this whole time about? What's Tisha B'Av about? You know what Tisha B'Av is about? Tisha B'Av, we've said many times, is referred to as a moed. Right? Kara alai moed lishbar bachurai, the pasuk in Eicha says. That Tisha B'Av is a moed. Right? And we don't see Tachanon on Tisha B'Av. We don't see Tachanon on Tisha B'Av. It's a moed. It's a moed. Revolbi says, moed. Moed is a holiday. What is a holiday? So Revolbi says, yes. Because you know what moedim are about? What is moed literally? It's a set time. Ki b'moed ashuv aleichem. Right? Remember the Malachim telling Sarah and Avram that at a set time I'm going to come back to. Moed is a set time. Revolbi says all the moedim are set times to focus on our relationship with God. But almost all moedim, Revolbi says, are moedim shel kiruv. They're set times to focus on how close we are. There's one time a year, Revolbi says, when you have a moed shel richuk. You have a set time that we're supposed to focus on how far away we are from Hashem. That's what Tisha B'Av is about. That's what the whole 3 weeks are about. Moed Shel Richuk. This is the set time when we focus on how far away, Rachmana Litzlan, we are from the Ribon Hashem. And Revolbi writes in Alei Shor Chelek Beis, he says that in every Shmona Esrei, there's six brachos, every Shmona Esrei, that talk about the Geula Asida, that talk about the Tchias HaMesim, six brachos. I'll let you figure out what the six are. But he says during this time of the 3 weeks, there are at least two that we have to focus on. What are the two? V'liyushalayim ircha, and v'sechazena einenu b'shuv chalitzion barachim. I hope to post tonight or tomorrow the Thursday night shir I gave to the men in tefillah about the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. What to focus on when we're saying the bracha of Bnei Yerushalayim. But Revolbi says we have to use our opportunities for tefillah during this time to sort of grab onto this moed shel richuk, to talk about Bnei Yerushalayim. You know, we walk the streets of Yerushalayim and we're so inspired, it's so beautiful, we're seeing the unfolding redemption. But the bracha is supposed to remind us how far ultimately we really are. That unfortunately, Bavanosenu Harabim, Maisim b'chol yom, maisim b'chol yom, the melchamas throughout the world. Melchamas that Chazal saw many years ago. Rav Wolfson spoke about the melchama at the end of days. I believe it was, I have the Makoros, I have to find the email, I have the Makoros, where he says that there's going to be a war of Yishmael versus Edom. Esav, meaning Rome, versus Arabia. There are sources that talk about a war at the end of days between Rome and Arabia. That's going to be the final war, and the Jews are going to be stuck in the middle of them. Right? Obviously, we're holding by Ikusa de Mashiach. Obviously, we're holding by Mashiach Zayin. So what we have to do is we have to have real yearning. And especially now, because we're so close, Revolvi says to use this time. And that's what some tzaddikim see is an illusion in this week's parsha. In Perek Chavav, Pasuk Beis, right after, Vahi Achrei HaMagefa, Vayomer Adonai HaMoshe VeElazar Ben Aaron HaKohen Lemar, that's in one Pasuk. That's one Pasuk, right? Vayi Achrei HaMagefa, it's after the Magefa, and God tells, Hashem tells Moshe and Elazar Ben Aaron HaKohen saying, Su'u Es Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Su'u Es Rosh, what does Su'u Es Rosh mean? What does Su'u Es Rosh literally mean?
Lift
up the heads. What does that mean? Here it means to count, but you know what it means in this context? Vahi achri ha-magefa. What do you think the Jewish people's perspective was after this magefa? After tens of thousands of Jewish people died, 876, 878, the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. The people after a magefa, after you see such a devastation, you see thousands upon thousands of people that died because of Cosby and Zimri, right? A magefa that mamish broke out, Hashem says, Su'u Es Rosh, lift up their heads. Lift them up. Give them perspective. Let them be able to focus. Banish the confusion. Restore their peace of mind. That's exactly what we're saying here, Su'u Es Rosh. And of course, Su'u Es Rosh has to be through, I think primarily, Chizuk and Emun. And we've spoken about this so much. We spoke about this a few Shabbos ago, right? If you remember, we spoke about this in Parshas Chukas. The concept of, well, at Shal Shudas, we spoke about the importance of Cheshbon and Nefesh, but Shabbos morning, what did we speak about? I don't know who's here Shabbos morning, but I'm not taking attendance, don't worry. But we spoke about the idea how the Maharal defends Rashi against the Ramban, that Emunah is not a simple thing. We have to be constantly working on our Emunah. It's something that we have to work on. But there's an amazing story. Can I tell the story for those that heard it? Do you mind if I tell the story again? It was a story that Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky told over. I know you let me tell the stories again. That Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky told that he was once at an AA meeting. He goes to AA meetings all the time, and he says everyone should go to AA meetings. You get great mussar from AA meetings. And he said there was a woman there who was 35, 36 years old. She says that at age 12, I was a full-blown alcoholic. By age 15, she says I was totally, totally a drug addict. And that was, she said, for about 9 to 10. She said that was about 9 to 10 years until I hit rock bottom. She said I was homeless. I was all over the place, hard, hard drugs. And she said about after 10 years of hard drugging, she said she found her way to AA. And she's in recovery for 9 years, close to a decade. And she's been clean ever since. And she said, I want to tell one story. She said she's an avid Jet fan. Fanatical follower of the Jets. And she said, that obviously this dates the story, that she said she was away for a weekend, an extended weekend, and asked one of her friends to tape the Jet game for her on a VCR, right? So we all remember what VCRs are, right? On a VCR. And the friend tapes the game and gives her the game after the weekend, says, by the way, the Jets won. The Jets won. And so, okay, she's watching the game, and she said, the Jets are getting mauled. They're down by 20 points at halftime. They're totally inept. And she said that if I didn't know what my friend told me, that the Jets are going to win this game, said I'd be jumping off the furniture, bouncing off the walls, hitting the fridge. She said, but because I knew the Jets won, she said I was calm. She says it's the same thing since she's been in AA. She said one of the steps in AA is what? You give over your life to a higher power. You recognize you have no control. He said, ever since I came to AA and submitted my life to God, I don't get overly anxious. I don't get only nervous because you know what? I know that in the end, it's all going to turn out all right. Just like that Jet game. So she says, I know the end of the game. And that's working on emunah. And that's what the Maharal says. The reason why we see Moshe was, Hashem says, Yan lo emantim bi, because you didn't believe in me. What was the lack of emunah? Because Moshe got angry. He called the Jewish people rebellious ones. He hit the rock 2 times. It's like losing it a little bit. That's what we have to do. Se'u'es Rosh, Hashem tells Moshe and Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, lift up the head to the Jewish people. Give them proper perspective. Help them banish the confusion, because that's what Haman knew. Haman knew lehumam ulabdam. You want to wipe out the Jews? What do you have to do first? You first have to get them to lose their peace of mind. You have to let them, and that's exactly what Pinchas had and what we're supposed to come back to. When we talk about focus, of course, there is that famous Gemara in Shabbos, but I'd like to first read you a Rambam. The Rambam is Perek Yud Aleph in Hilchos Melachim Milchamoseim, the laws of kings and their wars. 13th chapter, Halach Aleph. Hamelech HaMashiach Osid Lamod El Hachzir Malchus Beis David Leoshna Memshala Rishon Bonem Mikdash Mekabit Nitcha Yisrael. The King of Mashiach in the future, who will reestablish the kingship of the Davidic line to its grandeur and will build the Mikdash and gather the lost Jewish people, those that were dispersed all over the world, and will bring back the laws, will bring Karbanos. And then the Rambam writes, V'chol Misha Eino Mamin Bo, anyone who doesn't believe this, or mi she'eino mechakel biyoso, right? Someone that is not awaiting his coming. The Rambam writes, lo b'shar neviim bilvad hu kofer, ela b'tor of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not only kofer in the neviim, but he's kofer in the Torah and in Moshe. Because Moshe guaranteed it's going to happen. Do you hear the Lashon Rambam again? He says, anyone v'chol mi she'eino mamin bo, if you don't believe it, o mi she'eino mechakel lebioso, if you don't wait for his coming. He says you're kofer in the Torah and in the nevuas of Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that this is the Gemara. The Gemara said it, that we're going to be asked 6 questions when we get to the Bezdin Shel Ma'ala. And I believe it's the 4th question that is Tzipis El Yeshua. Did you wait anxiously for salvation? Did you wait anxiously for salvation to believe that the Geula was real? Did you believe that the Geula was really going to happen? And this Rambam, it's so powerful. It's so important, especially for this time of year, that this is the time of year when we're supposed to be able to focus on this. This is the time of year when we're supposed to put all the tsaros into perspective. We know that Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote that he believed that the tsaros that happened in Galus primarily happened because we don't mourn the Churban properly. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden said. And with that, some explain a little bit in a cute way that what are the 3 haftorahs during the 3 weeks referred to as? Anyone know? If you remember, starting after Tisha B'Av, they're known as Shiva de Nechemta, the 7 of consolation. But what are the 3 of the 3 weeks known as? Gimel de Paranusa, right? 3 of what, Lauren?
Catastrophe.
Of punishment, right? Paranus, punishment. But the question is, are they parallel? If the ones after 7 of Nechama, what should the ones of these be? 3 of Avelus, some suggest. There's Avelus, and then there's Nechama, right? So why is it Gimel de Paranusa? So some say, no, it's not Paranusa as punishment. It's Gimel de Paranusa. It's the 3 haftorahs of payback. It's the 3 haftorahs when we have to pay back our chov for not mourning properly the Churban. That this is the time of year, all year long, we haven't focused properly on what Gullus means. These are the 3 weeks a year when we're supposed to pay back. You hear, it's such an unbelievable idea. Such a powerful idea. This is why the Gimel de Paranusa. This is what we have to be doing. And they say that, I mean, great tzaddikim all year long mourn this. The Apter of the Oy of Yisrael, the Apter. So they say that, someone once came to him for Eitzah in a business matter, in a bracha, and he listened to him, gave him Eitzah, and then the guy was very excited, and he was leaving the Apter of, gave out like a real krechs, and the guy said, Rebbe, what's wrong? I said, no, that's okay. He said, Rebbe, what's wrong? What happened? He said, such a tzara happened today. He said, what was a tzara? The Apter of said, there was no carbon tumid brought today. And he started to cry. There was no carbon tumah today. The Gemara tells us if the Goyim knew how chashuv it was to the world the bringing of the Karban Talmid, they never would have stopped the Avodas HaKarbanos. And don't forget, it's one of the reasons we fasted on Sunday. One of the reasons we fast on Shavuos HaBetamos is because they stopped bringing the Karban Talmid. It's a wild idea. Like, that's the chashivas, the tzaris, to be able to feel it. But this is so important, as the Rambam says, that anyone who's not maminator, enu machak el biyoso, you're not waiting for his coming. So that's what we're supposed to do during this time of year. And this is why we understand the famous Kashan Tzer Magid, who says, kol rod fel yisigua ben ha-metzarim, kol rod deif yud hey, anyone who chases after God during this time of year, ben ha-metzarim, between the times of tragedy, yisigua, you're going to reach God. Meaning this is a time to come to God easily. You know why? Because now Melech, the Galusa, the king is also in Galus with us. The king is not in his palace. The king is not even, the king is lost. The king is in pain. The king is sad as well. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin said, when the Jews are in pain, the Shechina is in pain. And that's what we're supposed to try and connect to during these 3 weeks of the year. Baruch Hashem, we have so many simchas. Baruch Hashem, they're great simchas, right? And even now, you say a Shachianu, right? You give birth to even the time we gave the shir last week about Shachianu during Bein HaMetzarim. How could he say Shachianu v'kiman v'genu l'azman hazeh, that this time is a time for Ranusa? But you know what? No, this is a time when we can come so close to Hashem. This is a time when we can really have a moed shel richuk, think about how far we are. But as the Gemara Makos tells us, yirida letzorech aliyah. Sometimes we take a step down to be able to push ourselves up, to be able to go much higher. And that's what this time of the year is. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes, anyone who mourns properly of the Churban, zocha v'roa b'simchasa. Your zocha, your merit, and you see the simcha. What does that mean? It says it b'lashon hove in the present tense, because when you mourn the Beis Hamikdash properly, you're zocha to get a little simcha of the Beis Hamikdash. You can taste it. If you really mourn properly, the mourning itself is cathartic and it brings you a simcha. You connect to Hashem. I'll tell you, you know, Rachel, we've had this chassid. I think only with Rachel. Louisa, did I ever do the kinos when you were here? For the years that I did. Oh yeah, okay. I forget how many years I haven't done the kinos. But sometimes, you remember them? When we sit on the floor and you sing the kinos and you're crying, sometimes you get up to daven mincha, and that mincha is one of the geshmakest minchas of the year. I know it's crazy. It's one of the most powerful minchas of the year. If you have a good cry on Tisha B'Av morning, by mincha you're feeling geula. You're feeling the simcha. You're saying nachim with a bren. I'm sorry. Okay, it's already time after the end. People have to go home. Their husbands come to mincha. Let me just say one more idea. One more idea from Reb Mendel Rimnover. Such an important yisod. Such an important yisod. And I'm going to talk about this. I'll be talking about this ad Yom Mosi, I think. Until Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom. I won't talk about this the day that I die because Mashiach's coming very soon. Chas V'Shalom. I have to do tshuva for that. But we say very, very powerful. Reb Mendel Rimnover tells us, page 878. Bottom of the page, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Chavav Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're talking about some of the Yichus, right? We're talking about what happened in that Magefa. And then we say, V'nei Korach Lo Meso. The sons of Korach, the children of Korach, didn't die. So we know there's a whole var tour, the B'nei Korach, where were they? A ledge opened up and saved them. Shmuel, well, this was a descendant of Korach. But you know what B'nei Korach L'meisi, you know what Mendel Rimnover says? You know what B'nei here means? Banim doesn't mean children, physical children. You know what it means?
Builders.
It means students.
Students.
It means students. The students of Korach didn't die. You know what that means? You know the students of Korach? People who make machlokas. People who make fights. People who can't forgive another. People who can't... And it's a drasha. It's a drasha. Literally, it means the children. Elisa, but Ubnei Korach here, he's saying a drasha. Sometimes students are referred to as children of the teacher. So he's saying Ubnei Korach lo mesu means Rachmana Litzlan. Hashem should have mercy on us. Hashem should help us. That inside each and every one of us is a little bit of a Korach Rachmana Litzlan that we have to be very careful about. And Rav Meilich Biederman, he points out. He says, how many machloks in there are, Rachman al-Tzlan, between from Jews in the world today? And everyone thinks they're right. Everyone thinks they're right. He says, there's only one way to be saved from machloks. He goes, daven, tefillah. says tefillah is the only way to be saved from machlokas. To daven to Hashem that Hashem should help you have a clarity and not let you be drawn into machlokas. And he says sometimes, even when you're right, to turn away, it's a tremendous zechus. It's not simple. If it's simple, it wouldn't be a tremendous zechus to be able to turn away, to be able to turn away.
What did he do that his sons did? I mean, he must have raised them properly.
So that's for another time. I think did we discuss that a few years ago? Cheryl will hopefully listen to the shiur when I send it out, and Cheryl will email me what year we spoke about that. But that's a very important point. It's a very important point. But just to remember, again, just to chazor over the point, how important it is during this time of year, all the time, to be able to have peace of mind, to be able to have focus and that clarity. And that's what Rav Volbi talks about, a moed shel richuk, a set time of focusing on how far we are. But that's vayhi acharei ha-mageifa, after a plague, after the Jewish people are crestfallen, chas v'shalom could fall to despair and depression. Hashem says, se'u es rosh. Hashem tells Moshe and Elazar, lift them up, let them see properly. And as the Rambam says, how important peace of Yeshua, how important it is that we have to be anxiously awaiting and believe that it could happen. And Gimel de Parunusa, to pay back that this is the time of year when we're supposed to focus on what we want, on what we need. And as Rav Volbi says, the brachos in Shemona Esrei to focus on, especially Bonei Yushalayim and V'sechazene Neinu B'shuv Chalitzion Berachamim, and to end with one nekuda of tikkun, one nekuda of tikkun, of fixing, aside from, of course, just the hoping, just the kaveh Hashem, is very, very chashuv. But the idea from Mendel Rimnever, B'nei Korach L'meisu, chas v'shalom, we should be considered B'nei Korach. Chas v'shalom, that we should let ourselves be pulled in to machlokas, and you have to daven. You have to daven to Hashem that Hashem should help us be saved from machlokas, from Korach v'Achas. And be'ezus Hashem, we'll learn together next week in Beit Shemesh or Yushalayim or Yad Binyamin, wherever it is, someone close, somewhere close.